Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we're going to learn the halachas of Kriya, which is renting the garments after death. This is Siman Kuf Tzadi Hei 195 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So we're going to look at four concepts today: the mitzvah of Kriya, the torn garment itself, the timing and multiple rentings, and Yom Tov and Kriya. So let's start at the beginning, the mitzvah of Kriya. When must a mourner perform Kriya, tearing the garments? So upon the death of a relative for whom one is going to be obligated to mourn for, whether it's a spouse, sibling, parents, or child, the mourner must tear their garments. Today, we usually do this at the funeral. And although, as discussed beforehand in the previous siman, the idea that anybody who's present, even if they're not a mourner, is obligated to tear in the presence of a person when they pass away, we generally wait until the funeral. This has become less customary. How must the mourner be positioned when tearing? So we learn from Tanakh, we learn from the way that David HaMelech performed this, that a person needs to be standing when they are doing Kriya. When is it ideal to perform the Kriya? So it has to be done before the person is buried, because at a Shas Chimum, at a time where there is more, the anguish is fresh as well. Why do we do Kriya? So there's a number of reasons that are talked about as to why we do Kriya. It's on the one hand a symbol of what one is feeling inside, and on the other hand it's also expressing that feeling of grief and anguish is external. It's not where one does not mutilate oneself, one does not tear oneself or pull out one's hair, like the Torah says is prohibited, because it's an expression that it's external. The soul still lives on. Where and how should the tear be made? It must be made in the front of the neck, from the neck line of the garment downwards, and it must be torn vertically, not horizontally. What are the differences between tearing for a parent and other relatives? So for other relatives, one tears one hand breadth of the outer garment. Only for parents, one tears all the garments, all to above the heart, except the undershirt or occasional overcoats that a person doesn't wear all the time. Like, let's say, in the winter, as an example. What should a woman do when tearing garments? So, because of a concern of modesty, she should privately tear the inner garment and then flip it round so that the tear is not facing the front, and then tear the outer garment. Because of this, we usually recommend that a woman wear a shell or an undershirt. So in this way, that won't be torn. That's a big day zeha, but the outside garments will be torn. This is going to be more appropriate in that situation. Which side of the garment is torn? So it depends. For parents, it's the left side, right over the heart. For other relatives, all other relatives who are veilim, it's on the right side as well. If it's done differently, so sometimes mistakes are made, then the obligation is still fulfilled. It does not need to be torn again. How must garments be torn? So usually the Chevra Kadisha or the rabbi will take a razor and slice the beginning of the cut. This is for practical and also halachic reasons. Practically, it's just that it's very hard to tear a garment from the edge. You need to get through the seam, and then at that point in time, the mourner themselves will do the kriya as well. It's important to know that they will say the bracha Dayan HaEmes before doing so, and then right afterwards do the kriya. The reason why we say the bracha of Dayan HaEmes, because it acknowledges Hashem in the form of being the true judge, not good. Good is a relative, and it's a subjective experience of what's good to me. But true is independent. It's objective, independent of what I'm feeling right at this moment in time. We move to our second concept, and that is a torn garment. Must garments be torn again if they are changed during the shiva? So that's that person cannot wear, the shirt is dirty, they cannot wear anymore. Must they, when they put on a new shirt, do they need to do kriya? The answer is yes. If it's for parents, they must tear the new garment. For other relatives, it's not necessary to tear new garments if they're changed. What should be worn on Shabbos during the shiva? So one changes one's garments on Shabbos, but it should not be a clean or Shabbostic garments necessarily. We're usually more makil these days about wearing Shabbos garments, but it should not be clean, like freshly dry cleaned. When may torn garments be repaired? So for other relatives, they may be loosely stitched after shiva and fully sewn after 30 days. For parents, they can be loosely stitched after 30 days, but never fully fixed or patched at all. What are the customs regarding selling torn garments? So if one is not fully sewn, it's at a stage where you're not allowed to sell it, you're not allowed to fix it, and you may not sell it even to a non-Jew during that time. Let's talk about timing and multiple rentings. So, what if the mourner hears about a death after 30 days after the death? So, in that case, for other relatives, there's no longer a kriya which is required. For parents, kriya must be performed on the garment at that point in time, even if it's after 30 days from death. Being worn at the time of hearing the news, but not on the clothes that are worn afterwards. What happens if another relative dies during the shiva, God forbid? Then in that case, you would make a new tear three finger breadths away, or extend the first tear by one tefach. What happens if the second death after shiva is apparent? So then a new tear must be made, which is three hand breadths away from the first one, since the death of a parent is not considered additional grief. It's its own separate type of grief, which necessitates its own tearing. What if a person hears about two deaths at once? So for two other relatives or two parents, one tear is enough. But if it's for a parent and another relative, one tear first for the parent, and then a gap of three finger breadths, and then another tear for the other relative. What if the mourner was physically unable to tear the garments? So if he was mentally aware but physically unable and then recovers after shiva, well, he may tear. If he was mentally unaware, he must tear upon regaining clarity within 30 days for other relatives and with no time limit for parents. What is the law regarding minors, ketanim, about kriya? So if they're below the age of chinuch, they're below the age of six regularly, then they should be slightly torn for display. But above chinuch, they should tear like an adult. Finally, the last topic is Yom Tov and kriya. So what if Yom Tov intervenes during the 30 days? So for other relatives, they may fully sew the garment after mincha on Erev Yom Tov, because now it's at the end of the shloshim. For parents, one may only loosely stitch the tear. That's because that's like the end of shloshim once Yom Tov hits. It cancels the shloshim. What is our halacha regarding kriya on Chol HaMoed? So let's say somebody passes away on Yom Tov or on Chol HaMoed. Are they allowed to do kriya? So for parents, when the garments are torn on Chol HaMoed, for other relatives, there's no tearing until after Yom Tov. And then it would be done afterwards as well. So there might be a difference at a funeral between some people tearing and some people not tearing based on who they are in relationship to the niftar. With this, we conclude the halachas of kriya. Have a wonderful, meaningful day.